All right, find in your Bibles Hebrews chapter number 13. Hebrews chapter 13 will be our text for a few moments tonight. And I kind of had an emphasis on the day today to prepare you for Thanksgiving and to kind of direct and concentrate and position our thoughts and our understanding so that we would have a joyful and productive and praiseful Thanksgiving. And I believe that the Lord ought to receive praise from His people, and I want you to be able to do that. And so we began this morning with our text there in Matthew chapter 27, and we just mentioned that we would, or looked at the fact that how grateful we were that the Lord Jesus did not come down off of that cross. And we talked about the things that Him staying on the cross showed us. It showed us why He came. It proved that He is God. It revealed the wickedness of sin, and that it took the death of our Savior to overcome that it was the only way. And then it also, Him staying on the cross, proved God's great love to us. And so the platform of all of our praise is really and truthfully the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm glad that God saved me. If you're glad God saved you, say amen. Don't forget that. Don't ever get away from that. And then I was directed, I believe, by the Lord to Hebrews chapter 13. And I was directed to another thought tonight. And to truthfully to be told, it's a thought that dominates our lives. It's a thought that has, or a truth that has tremendous power in our lives. Not only can we thank God that He saves us, but we should also thank God that He keeps us. And when I use the phrase keeping us, I know this, that the promise is, as you find in Hebrews chapter 13, right there almost at the end of the verse, it says, "For He hath said," let's read the rest of that out loud together, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Now I read that by myself. Together means all of us. I can help you with that. Let's try that again. Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 5, right there in the middle where it says, "For He hath said," let's go. "For He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Just think about that a second. God said to His child, God said to His people, and God said to you that I promise you, I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. Powerful truth. In the book of Hebrews, the author in the last chapter, after he has done spending 12 chapters showing us the better way in the new covenant and how what Christ is to us, in chapter number 13, he begins with some individual responsibilities in our lives, certain things that we are to do as believers now under this new covenant. Let brotherly love continue. So we're to love one another. In verse number 2, he says, "Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares." It'll be interesting when we get to heaven to see if that has really happened, or when that happened, or how many times that has happened in our lives. Verse number 3, he says, "Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body." So we're to have empathy or sympathy for one another. We're to remember one another, especially those that are suffering. Real quick, he touches on marriage. He says, "Marriage is honorable in all, the bed is undefiled. Whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge." That's a powerful statement, isn't it? Especially in the world we live in. Whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. You know, we may have been those things, but hallelujah, we've been washed by the blood of the Lamb. And then in verse number 5, he says, "Now let your conversation," that word conversation really carries your conduct or your manner of life, Let your manner of life be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now the promise there, we're going to look at this in just a moment, that God would never leave you or never forsake you, has such stretch and has such power and has such reach that really and truthfully, this one truth to the believer can bring steadfast and tremendous peace to your life. And what he is saying is the understanding in the believer's heart and mind that God will never leave you or forsake you will affect all of your conduct. It will affect all of your manner of life. Where the platform of our praise is the gospel, the platform of our peace in the Lord Jesus is that he will never leave us nor forsake us. And it's so powerful that it is able to be a weapon against covetousness and bring us to a position of contentment. Now, what is covetousness? Covetousness is that inordinate desire to have something that doesn't belong to you. It really stems from our flesh, as the flesh has a desire to be satisfied. And so a covetousness is that desire that is inordinate, is that desire without permission. It is that desire to obtain something or someone or some whatever that doesn't belong to you, but your flesh has to have it. And so we begin to get covetous about that. And the writer of Hebrews is saying that the understanding that God would never leave me enables me to withstand inordinate desires. Why? Because I look around in the things that I have, and the things that I don't have, but I will say this, I have what God wants me to have, and I don't have what God doesn't want me to have. And it brings about in my life a peace and a stability that wards off covetousness, and at the same time, it brings contentment. So you don't have $1 million, but you do have Jesus. So you got fired. So you don't have a job. You have the promise the Lord would never leave you. So your lover left you. So your spouse left you. So your dream has left you. So your little, whatever you want to put your hope in, that has vanished away. But listen, God said, I will never leave my child. And the writer says, when you understand that, no longer do I have an inordinate affection or desire because now he's the preeminent of my life. Okay, God, I'm going through this hard time, man, and I really want this, but it's not happening, or I have this desire. But God, I have you. God, I've lost some things. I don't have some things. But man, I've come to this position now where I'm finding contentment because I can never, ever, ever lose you. Now, he quotes this passage all the way back from Deuteronomy 31. Hold your hand here. We're going to Deuteronomy 31. It's powerful verses here. And this verse is taken from the life of Moses. And Moses is encouraging the nation of Israel with this. And so when you come to Deuteronomy chapter 31, and you come to the very first verse, Moses makes some pretty strong statement about himself. Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel, and he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. So you have biblical precedent, women, to tell your age. I can no more go out and come in, which means he doesn't have the strength to do what he did in his youth. Also, the Lord hath said unto me, thou shalt not go over this Jordan. So God's put a restriction on it. The Lord thy God, he will go over before thee. He will destroy these nations from before thee. and thou shalt possess them. And Joshua, he shall go over before thee as the Lord hath said. And the Lord shall do unto them as he did to Zion and to Og, kings of the Amorites, and unto the land of them whom he destroyed. And the Lord shall give them up before your face, that ye may do unto them according unto all the commandments which I have commanded you. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. And God's people should say amen to that. Now listen, this is the promise God gave to the nation of Israel. And so Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, with this promise that God would not fail nor forsake, he tells Joshua, be strong, man. Be of a good courage. For thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them. And thou shalt cause them to inherit it. He's going to give them victory. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Now it's this passage, this truth, these words that the writer of Hebrew goes all the way back and plucks from Moses and says, the same God that was with Moses is the same God that is in you. The same God that said he would never leave Moses is the same God that said he would never leave his people. And so when I understand that God would never depart, he indwelt me, he lives in me, nothing can separate me from his love, he will never forsake me, that brings a peace within my soul. So when you look at your circumstances, or you look at the troubles or the trials, always, church, measure them on, I may lose everything in my life, but I will never lose the Savior of my life. Man, to be honest with you, if I was God, I'd have left me a long time ago. If I was God, and I treated God the way that I treat him today, I would leave me a long time ago. But I'm glad that God is not like us. And so the writer of Hebrews says, now listen, if you're going to praise the Lord and you're going to know peace within your soul to the point that it can guard against covetousness and it can bring contentment, here is the promise. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now listen, sometimes we feel like God has left us. Sometimes we feel forsaken. Sometimes things tell us that. That's why you need the authority of the Word of God. Now it goes deeper in its understanding. Verse number 6 begins with a little word called so. This is an application word. And so they've made the statement here, and he uses the word so you can apply what you just heard. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what, say that word class, man shall do unto me. Okay, so the writer says, now listen, this platform that God would never leave you nor forsake you has the ability to bring peace to your soul. It has the ability to provide peace from within, but it also has the ability to provide peace from without. Peace from within guards me against covetousness, and it brings me to contentment. Peace from without guards me against what man can do unto me. And so the application is, man can do a whole lot, and man can be pretty aggressive in our lives, and man can be pretty destructive in our lives, man can be pretty discouraging in our lives, man can be pretty hurtful in our lives, but the premise that God would never leave me enables me to boldly say, listen, you're not God. Do whatever you want to. I'm not going to cower. I'm not going to run. I'm not going to hide. The Lord is my helper, and I'm not going to fear what you're going to do unto me, because he will protect me. So many decisions we make, wrong decisions, are based because we fear man. Let me tell you something. If we'll fear God, that's all the sufficient fear we need to do. And so this part of the verse, in Hebrews 13, verse number 6, is quoted there in some of your Bibles. It'll be in capital letters. The Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Now hold your hand, put something there, and go to Psalm 27. Psalm 27 is where the writer takes this from. And this psalm has 14 verses. And really and truthfully, inside these 14 verses is powerful application to the statement that I will not fear what man can do unto me because I have the Lord. And so David is writing here, and in verse number 1 he says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Well, man, when you come to understanding that the Lord is the strength of your life, He's the light and salvation, then there's no reason to be afraid. Now David goes and begins to give application and illustration to this truth. And so I just want you to see if you can find in your life an application from one of these verses. And I want it to be a blessing for you. I want you to be able to praise God this week for His great, for the gospel, for saving you, but for also keeping you and understanding the promise that He would never leave you nor forsake you. So here's what David said. Verse number 2. "When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh," that's what David felt like they were going to do, "they stumbled and fell." Praise God for His great protection. Amen. Verse 3. "Though an host should encamp against me." Have you ever felt outnumbered? You go to work and everybody's talking about you. And all the family's against you. All the neighbors are against you. You feel like everyone is encamped against you and it's you alone. David understood that. "Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple." David said, nothing is going to steal me from the refuge of being with the Lord. Nothing is going to overtake that. I have a desire to dwell with Him. I have a desire to behold the beauty of the Lord. I have a desire for worship. And though it seems like my whole world is crashing in, He will never leave me and He will never forsake me. Verse number 5. "For in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle, He shall hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock." Buddy, there's protection there. "And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of joy." Now listen, a joyful person is a content person. Say that again. A joyful person is a content person. And David said, or the writer of Hebrews said, that the understanding that God will never leave you nor forsake you has the ability to bring you to this platform of contentment. Okay, God, my whole world's crashing in, but I have You, so I'm content. I didn't get what I wanted over here in this raise. I didn't get what I wanted over here in this promotion. I didn't get what I wanted over here in these things, but I have You, and therefore I am content. I trust You, God, to care for me. You'll give me what I need and what's good for me. You'll withhold what I don't. And so I am easily able to dismiss covetousness because I trust the Lord. And by the way, He loves you and He's good to you. And so David said, "Therefore, I will offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of joy." This is from a content heart. "I will sing. Yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me. Answer me. When Thou said, 'Seek ye my face,' my heart set unto thee. Thy face, Lord, will I seek. So David says, hey, listen, I'm seeking you. I'm trusting you. I'm walking with you. Hear my prayer. Have mercy upon me. By the way, do you not find Jesus a wonderful refuge in the time of trouble? His prayer is, hide not, verse number 9, thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not. Now, we have the promise and the dwelling of the Spirit of God here in the New Testament, so we understood some things David didn't understand. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. And now he begins to express some moments of forsakenness. Look at verse 10. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Even in the midst of your family problems, even in the midst of being forsaken by your dad or forsaken by your mother, the promise is that the Lord will take you up. You will not be forsaken of him. Verse 11. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. I'll tell you what, it's a wonderful experience when you face enemies to be able to trust the Lord to direct you during an enmity time. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies. For false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. David knew what it was, man, to face man. He knew what it was for man to unleash upon him. And so when David cries out, don't leave me and don't forsake me, when David cries out that the Lord is the strength of his life, and then the writer of Hebrews goes back and picks out of that context those verses, what the writer of Hebrews is saying is that this truth is sufficient for any need we have. Verse 13, David says, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Now, here's where the rubber meets the road. And here's where you've got to be able to come to some understanding in your own heart and your own mind. And the understanding is, do you believe that God is good to you? If so, say amen. Then you got to ask yourself, do I trust that? Do I trust that God will be good to me in my life? So therefore, when I don't receive from God that which I think I should receive, or even that which I may have prayed for, or that which I have longed for, if God withholds that from me, is God still good? So when you didn't get promoted, God's still good. Amen? So when you didn't win the lotto, just kidding. When your dream crashes and God didn't let it happen, God's still good. And if you don't believe that he's good in your life, then where do you go? So when your perspective and your hope and your dream crashes, and then you don't believe that God is good, then normally the place you go is a bitter place. It's a place of despair. It's a place of questioning. It's a place where I begin to get frustrated. It's a place where I begin to get angry at the Lord. It's a place where I begin to travel out and experiment, and I begin to search for maybe new systems or new beliefs or new things like this, because, well, God, if you were good, you would have given to me what I want. Well, listen, he probably was really good that he didn't give you what you wanted. And David said, man, when I was going through all of those things, if I did not believe that God was good, I'd have never made it. So just let me give you an example of what that sounds like. God, I don't understand. It didn't work out like I planned. It hurt really bad. But God, I know you love me, and I know you're good to me, and I know you promised you would never leave me and you would never forsake me. And so, God, you're sufficient to my life, and I will trust that. My friends, if you cannot come to that place in your life where you just submit yourself to the goodness of God, and it's just sufficient that, God, you promised you would never leave me, you wouldn't forsake me, you'll care for me, you'll guide me through this, you'll provide for me what you want, and I'm going to trust you. You will never make or know contentment. You'll never be free from covetousness. You'll never know joy. You'll never be able to lift your voice up or your hands up and praise the Lord because you didn't get what you want. And the writer of Hebrews is saying, listen, the promise is all about that he would never leave you nor forsake you. Look at verse 14 of Psalm 27. So here's what David says about that. What's the very first word of that verse? That's a stinky word, isn't it? Wait. Who in the world wants to wait? If I have to wait longer than a couple of minutes in the Dunkin' Donut line, I'm in the flesh. Wait. Hate waiting. But the Bible says a lot about waiting. Now, look what he says. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. My friends, he does have the ability to strengthen our heart. It is precious to wait on the Lord. I can be of good courage, and I can trust him with my life. So as I praise the Lord this week, I will praise him for saving me. But man, I'm going to praise him for keeping me. I'm going to praise you that you died for my sin, you were buried, and you rose again. But I'm going to praise you that you promised you would never leave me and you would never forsake me. And that promise, I can go all the way back to Moses, and I can go all the way back to David, and I can go all the way back. And the same God that made those promises is the same God that lives in my heart. And you, God, have been faithful all the time. So when my dreams come crashing in, I'll just find a quiet place and I will say, okay, God, I know you love me. I know you're in my heart. And I know you won't leave me. So I surrender myself to you and you do what's best because I know all things work together for good. Perfect. Finish the verse. You know, Sherry, you'd be a good preacher. You just raised one, didn't you? I love you for that. All right. Amen. Let's praise the Lord. Let's pray.